the term, you are what you eat. Well, then I must be sweet. Or should I say it like today? So wheat, right? But unfortunately, I guess that didn't really happen so much. But, you know, there's another statement, and really it's more powerful than that last statement. You are what you think. You are what you think. You really have to think about it. Not a whole lot. Because our school has great examples of that. And if a kid doesn't do well after a certain amount of time, what happens? Well, they feel worthless, useless, stupid. I know that was kind of the way I felt in school when I went to school. You know, I worked hard to get B's. And my brother slept in class and got A's. I concluded that I was not smart. And had it not been for sports, because I did well in sports and shop classes, I did really good in those, but I didn't do so good in the academics. But I worked hard at the academics because I had to have the academics to play in sports. So it kept me in school. My brother, on the other hand, wasn't so good in the sports, but he was really good in the classroom. Slept, got A's, was valedictorian in his class, and slept. You know, I couldn't do that. And as I grew, as I got older, as I you know, grew up and matured, I realized that I could do whatever I wanted to do. I really wasn't stupid. I wasn't not smart. I'll say it that way. But that if I put my mind to anything, I could do it. And the Bible tells us that that's really what we need to focus on. That's what we need to think about. And, you know, let's go to Philippians chapter 4, 1787 in your pew Bibles. Philippians chapter 4. And the first scripture really that I want us to look at and be mindful of is 4:13, actually. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I can do anything, everything through Him who gives me strength. Then back up to verse 8. Look what Paul is telling the Philippian people. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you." It's changing the way you think. What are the first things that we think of when, in fact, here's a good illustration. I never got called into the principal's office often. You caught that, okay. I thought it went. But when you got called into the principal's office, what'd you think? Boy, am I in trouble. Why don't we think, "Oh, I'm going praying for an award"? Anybody ever think that? "I'm going in for an award"? Maybe. But none of us think that way. We think the worst. When somebody calls on the phone, what do you think? Depending on who it is. You know, when the police pulled into my front yard with Jonathan, I wasn't thinking the best. But here, this scripture in Philippians tells us, Change your thinking. Poor guy. We got it. He doesn't understand the change of thinking. Not yet. But we have a choice. We have a choice in our life to change our thinking. When you get up in the morning, what do you think? First thing. Oh, what a miserable day. Or do you think, another day. Let's get to it. Paul says, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The word think in this particular scripture is dwell. Dwell on. Not just think about, dwell on. We're not supposed to just, oh yeah, that's good, and then go on. We're supposed to dwell on it all day long. Dwell on it, how God is good to you. Well, when you do that, your thought changes, your thought patterns, what you do, how you act, your attitudes, everything changes. I had a dog. You're going, a dog, and now you're going, thought changes and whatever. I had this dog, and something went wrong with it. You know, sometimes that happens. The only time I ever had that happen with a dog, it just went crazy. Maybe it got rabies, I don't know what. But we had to get rid of that dog. The dog was a danger. In fact, it had cornered Shauna and Jonathan when they were, you know, Jonathan was just about a year and a half old. And Shauna, you know, had to go into a back bedroom and close the door so the dog couldn't get to them. When I came home, you know, we took care of the dog. But that dog was causing fear. It was violent. It was not a good dog. Not a dog you wanted around. Well, after we got rid of that dog, we got another dog, and that dog was nice. The dog was a great dog. It was just, you know, the temperament, everything was great. We enjoyed having the dog around. There's two dogs that you have in your mentality. A dog that has got you in fear, gripped in fear. A dog that's backed you into the corner. A dog that has you thinking all the wrong things. A dog that makes you cower in the back room. There's another dog that's a good dog. That dog is just the greatest ever. We have a choice. We can get rid of the bad dog. Just don't feed it. You know, get rid of it. Or you can feed the good dog. You can feed it with all these things. Whatever's true, noble, right, pure, and lovely, admirable, and the God of peace will give you that peace that you need through your life. We think we know how God is. We make all these suppositions about God. Do we really know who God is? Or do we take it off of what we think in this world? And I talked yesterday about premarital counseling, and I'll mention to people how we get our ideas about marriage and about relationship from past, from experiences, from our family, from relatives, from our parents, grandparents. And so we make our suppositions and we make our conclusions based on them rather than on God's Word. And so as we live our lives in this world, we are adding spectacles and lenses. And I don't know if you've looked through those kaleidoscopes. I think they're called kaleidoscopes, right? Where you turn them and they got all the different colors and everything. That's what happens with experiences that change our attitudes and make us think a certain way. That's what happens. And what happens is we get a distorted view of the realities of relationship, of the world, of God, of everything. until we strip away those lenses, we don't have a correct view. The only way we strip away those lenses is through God's Word, His truth. Now, I want us to go to another scripture, and I want to see what I'm talking about. 1476, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. 1476 in your pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 6. It actually starts in verse 5. I want to read 7 and 8 first. 7 and 8, it says, "And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them." Verse 5 talks about hypocrites. It says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men." You see, our thoughts are, well, if I pray a long prayer, that's the pagans, if I pray this long prayer, surely I'll get something for that. If I suffer in a certain way, there's people that actually crawl on their knees to Mecca because they feel that if they suffer for their cause, then they'll get something, a reward of some kind. The hypocrites, they felt that they stood on the street corners and they prayed, not only would they get the praise of men, but certainly God would reward them for their piousness. That's all thinking. They thought this was the best way to do it, that this is what God wanted. But they didn't go to the Scriptures to find out the truth about the matter. They just thought this is what they would do. It's kind of like having medicine, The doctor gives you medicine for whatever you got. And you say, well, if one pill is good, two must be better. And three and four would be even better yet. Let's knock this thing out right away in one day. We don't have to follow the doctor's rule. It's a flawed thinking. And that's exactly what we have in our own thinking. I want you to go back to Proverbs chapter 14, 952 in your pew Bibles. Proverbs chapter 14. Again, this scripture reminds us that our thinking is totally flawed. Verse 12, Proverbs 14. So there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. That's kind of like seeing a cliff. Knowing there's this cliff there and saying, I'm just going to head straight ahead. Keep my eyes on the horizon and keep on moving and walk right over the cliff. It might seem right. Might seem good. You know how those cartoons, I used to watch a lot of cartoons. I like cartoons, and the coyote always. Remember Coyote, Wile E. Coyote? And the Roadrunner would push a picture of a tunnel or a picture of a road. And he would run across it, but the coyote go through it and fall those, he never died. But that to me would be, crazy as it is. Groundhog Day, kind of thing. But this is our thinking. We think this is right or that's right, or we think that I have it all together or I know exactly what I'm doing. And God says, it's only going to lead to death. We need to change our thinking. We need to focus on God and look to His truth. In 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 20, 1734 in your pew Bibles, 1 Corinthians 3. and someday you'll preach too. That's so funny. I'm going right at it. 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 18, says, "Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool, that any may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then no more boasting about men. You know, here, this is so funny because it's like we think we're so smart. We go out there and we like, you know, yeah, we should do this and we should do that and we got it all figured out and I know exactly which way I'm going to go. And Paul even says, you got to go. We've got action going on this morning. I'm telling you what. But you know, God tells us that His foolishness is wiser than our wisdom. We should focus our eyes on Him. We should seek His wisdom. Because the world's wisdom and my wisdom is just foolishness. God looks at us and shakes His head at what we're doing here in this world. Because all the things that we're running after are things that are not going to last. The only thing that's going to last is His kingdom. We should be following and seeking after those things. We think we have right thinking. But I want you to go to Proverbs, back to Proverbs 9:34. In your pew Bibles, 9:34. And we're going to get our perspective. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6, 9:34. It says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, your own thinking. In your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. That's what we need to do. We don't need to be looking to the world's philosophy. You know, schools are fine. Knowledge is great. You know, and I'm not going to tell you don't go to college. Because I want you to go to college. It gets you a good job and all those kind of things. If college is not for you, that's fine too. But I'm going to tell you, the world's knowledge is not going to help you in the whole scheme of things. Turn back to chapter 1 in Proverbs. And look at verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. You can go to school and you can get all the knowledge you want. You can have a doctorate for that matter. And you can be the dumbest person in this world. Because if you don't temper that with the fear of God, with the salvation that the Lord provides you and has given us, if you don't have that in perspective, you're wasting your time. How do I say that you're wasting your time? Because, oh man, you know, I got a doctorate, I got a great job. You know, I'm making lots of money, six-figure income. Do you remember what Jesus said? About that was a parable about a rich guy. And he had all his silos filled with food. He even busted down his barn and built a bigger one. He had everything he needed. Had cows galore. Had sheep and wealth beyond wealth. And he said, you know what? I've got it made now. I'm going to sit back and enjoy life. And then God says, you know, you're a fool. Catch that? You're a fool because in your wisdom, your soul is demanded of you tonight. Now what? Now what? You know, you can have a six-figure income. You can have $1 million in the bank. You can be a billionaire. You can be a Donald Trump. Let's use him. He's in the campaigning. You could be a Donald Trump. You can have billions of dollars. You could be telling everybody how many billions of dollars you have. And you can be on top of the world. But if you aren't saved, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, it's all for nothing. Our thinking changes that. You can think that you got it made. You can think, I'm on my way to heaven. But if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior, your thinking is flawed. You're thinking by the world standards. You're thinking by what you have gained, excuse me, by experience or by whatever, by your own knowledge. It's not using the knowledge that's here in this Bible, in God's Word. You know, there's a lot of things that thinking changes. There's obstacles that come before us throughout our lives. Obstacles in following Christ. Are you going to let those obstacles stop you? Are you constantly saying, "Oh, I can't. You know, I can't do that." Or are you saying, "You know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You might be thinking too that you're no good, worthless, ugly, limited, stupid. You know what? You're not. Change your thinking. Because God says you're worth more than anything, because you know what? He went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for you. He said, in his word, He said, He wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. He wants us all to know Him personally. That's what communion is all about. Communion reminds us of the sacrifice that He gave for us. Communion is what tells us He didn't just get a beating and walk away. They hung Him on a cross, and He paid for our sin on that cross. With His life, with His blood, He paid. So instead of saying, "Well, I know better, and there's many ways to heaven, or I've got it made, or I'm a good person, or I haven't done anything really major wrong." You know what the Bible says? We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter how good you are. You can go to church every Sunday. You can go to Sunday school. You can even teach Sunday school. And if you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, you're still in your sins. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to see you die in your sins. I want you to give those sins to the Lord Jesus. And that's what communion is all about. I want us to say, just have a word of prayer here. Take a moment as we seek the Lord. Father, we come before You with all these thoughts in our head. The world has told us so many things. It's told us there's no God. It's told us that You used evolution to make things. It's told us that You don't care about us. It's told us that we have to make our own way. That we're good enough. It's told us all kinds of things, but that's not what Your Word says. Lord, I pray that You would change our thinking right now. That You would make us realize and understand that it's You. We're not going to make it on our own merits. We're not going to make it how good we are. The only way we're going to make it is through believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I pray if there's somebody here that hasn't done that, that they would do that now. That they would just pray, "Lord, I want You in my heart. I'm tired of fighting. I know I'm not good enough. I understand that. But Your righteousness is. You don't want me to perish. Lord, fill my life with Your Spirit. Forgive me my sins." Lord, thank You so much for going to the cross and dying for each one of us, that we might have eternal life whenever that day comes that you call us home. We don't have to fear anymore. That dog is gone. No more fear, no more violence, no more cowering in a corner. And we can be more than conquerors. We can stand up straight. Lord, thank you for this time that we have to share our gratefulness for what you've done. We pray now that you bless the cup and bless the bread as we take them together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.